Yeah, so today I wanted to look at Romans 12 and figure out these first couple of verses. We're just going to look at the first two verses for the sake of time. So if you have a Bible handy, you can go to Romans 12. We're going to be in just verses 1 and 2. I meant to have them up on the screen for you today, but I forgot. So while you're looking for Romans 12, let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you that you've gathered us together in this format. Lord, we just, while we don't like this format necessarily, we do appreciate the fact that we can still meet, still hear each other and still see each other's faces a little bit in this format. And so, Lord, we just ask that your presence would be with us. Lord, that you would speak through me and Alana this morning and that we would be able to discern what it is that you're doing in this passage. Lord, we just pray protection over our equipment and over this transmission, that we would have no technical difficulties. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, I want to look at this passage in Romans 12. I've always loved the idea of offering your body as a living sacrifice, but I never really understood what that meant or looked like. So I really got a chance to study this passage and understand it better today, and so I'm hoping that all of you will get something out of it. Let's start by just reading Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, like I said, I've always been really intrigued by this, by verse 1 that says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. But to understand verse 1, we really have to understand verse 2. And then there's a whole lot going on in verses 4 and 5 and the rest of chapter 12. But again, for the sake of time, we're just going to look at verses 1 and 2 today because that will be plenty. So verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, this is often quoted. I hear this verse quoted all the time, but I think it's also very often misunderstood.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Could you, and obviously you're like, well, but like, can you talk about what does this look like? You know, what does it look like to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? Like, you know, does it mean like when you worship, you dance and you go full out? Or is it fasting? You know, is how would you say my body becomes involved with worship?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And those are some of the things that I've often thought about before. And dancing or fasting certainly could be great ways to express worship in a physical way, but I don't think that's what this verse is getting at. As I began to study this passage, I realized that most Bible scholars believe that based on the structure of the Greek grammar in this passage, the second verse is the answer to the first verse. So the way Paul structured this when he wrote it, he asks this, or he makes this statement in verse 1, but then when he gets into verse 2, the way he structures it, he's answering his own question from verse 1.
That's so cool.
So before we can understand what it means to offer our bodies as sacrifices, we first have to understand what it means to not be conformed to this world. So let's jump to verse 2.
Okay.
Verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So Paul starts out by commanding us in this second verse not to conform to the patterns of this world.
Tim, before you go like too much further into this, could you take a moment and explain what you mean by conformed to this world?
Yeah, the word translated in the NIV as conform means just that, to be conformed or to be shaped by. With this word, we actually get kind of a word picture. As I really studied this word, where Paul says, do not be conformed, so I really studied that word in the Greek, and I kept coming up with this visualization. This is a piece of Play-Doh. Remember old-fashioned kids Play-Doh?
I went
over to church, and I rummaged through the children's stuff, and I found some Play-Doh.
Amazing.
Well, I can conform and shape this Play-Doh any way I want, right?
Yeah.
Like I could take my pen and I could then form the Play-Doh around the pen. and you end up with like a little tube, right? I can see my little. So this is the idea. Do not be conformed, right? But here's something I want to show you in this. What's interesting is this verb, do not be conformed, is in the passive verb form. Now, I'm going to geek out on the grammar a little bit like I always do, especially when it's passive form.
Geek!
So when the verb is in the passive form, remember the action of the verb happens to the subject with no willingness or no volition on the part of the subject. So as I'm conforming this Play-Doh, does the Play-Doh have any part of it?
No. It's
the right? Play-Doh. The Play-Doh can't say, no, don't do that to me. It can't. I get to form this Play-Doh any way I want. The action is happening to the Play-Doh, and the Play-Doh has no part in it, right? That's the concept behind the word do not be conformed, okay?
Interesting.
Then it says, it goes on to say, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That's how it reads in the NIV.
Okay.
In Greek, it's the word age, referring to a time period, the time period that you're living in. So do not be conformed by the age that we are living in. So taking into account the passive form, it could be translated this way. Be not conformed to this age, which is exactly how the YLT translation translates it, Young's literal translation. Be not conformed to this age. So think about this. The implications is that the age we live in is shaping us.
Yeah.
Just like I shaped this Play-Doh, the age that we live in is shaping us.
Would you, like, what ways would you say, like, what are the things that this age is shaping us into, or how is it shaping us?
Yeah, that's, we got to understand that. In order to obey Paul's command, we got to understand what that looks like.
Yeah.
I think a huge one for us is time. We live in an age driven by the clock and the calendar. We're constantly looking at our watch or our calendar. Think about how much time shapes our life, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
Everything about our age is fast-paced. We live in the microwave age. But God is outside of time. One day is 1,000 years to him. Time is made for man, not God.
Hmm.
Again, God operates outside of time. He does not have a calendar and he does not have a clock. Yet we allow time to shape us, to shape our thinking, to shape our actions, and then we force time back onto God, wondering why he does not work according to our timeline, right?
Yeah.
We end up thinking that.
True.
We end up thinking God is late or slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons that I love being in Africa so much on mission trips. They are not driven by time. Like, they don't have watches. They don't have clocks. They barely have calendars. You can show up for a meeting 6 hours late and they are happy as a lark that you showed up.
Oh.
They just don't have a concept of time. And I love that.
That's so
I think cool. Another one for our day and age is justice.
Okay.
Remember a few weeks ago, I did a message, and in that message, I talked about how we don't live under a system of justice. We live in a system of rule of law, and law isn't always just.
Hmm.
So injustice begins to form us. We get very used to and accustomed to injustice.
Hmm.
We're just beginning to understand some of this with all of the racial tensions in our country that are unfolding.
Yeah.
And if you listen carefully to the people of color and they explain how they've been victims of injustice, we realize that we are really, truly blind to it. And the age that we live in has shaped us to not see the injustice.
Wow. Yeah.
But God is a God of justice. So we end up acting in ways that are outside of what God is.
Hmm.
And I think perhaps another one that's very much related, but a little bit different, is lack of accountability.
Okay.
We have so little accountability in our age. Politicians get away with whatever they want, and yet there's no unbiased system to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Even the way we do church reinforces disobedience because there's no accountability. We teach the next lesson before we master the last lesson.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
We just move on from Sunday to Sunday teaching a new lesson, even though no one really got or lived out the last message that we taught.
Yeah. Oh.
There's no system of accountability to ensure that we're living godly lives. And so our age is shaping us through a lack of accountability to not grow, to not be discipled. What's interesting is the places in the world where the church is growing the fastest is where there are good systems of accountability. They've named that system disciple-making movements, and there are several books written about it.
Yeah.
But in the places of the world where the church has real set-in-place accountability to make sure that people are growing and learning the biblical lessons, that's where the church is growing the fastest.
Interesting.
So because we lack accountability, we kind of get away with whatever we want, and then as Christians, we don't grow. And our age approves of this and encourages it. Again, a problem of our age is this total lack of accountability. But God always holds his people accountable, even whole nations.
Yeah.
Our lack of accountability is shaping us to become more and more ungodly.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, those are so, so good. Something I've noticed too, and maybe you have as well, is that even just whatever the beliefs of the culture or the beliefs of the time are that are contrary to God, that I'm seeing that too. Is that something you're seeing as well? Like being conformed by just what is the popular belief right now?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, I see that. And I would describe that as syncretism. It's a blending. As Americans, we love to blend. We love to blend things to make them palatable so they're comfortable. And yeah. So, you know, we see this all the time. We see that a product of our age, and then people who say they're Christians that are in the church allowing themselves to be molded by the product of that age. Yeah, there's a real problem with syncretism that we're suffering from right now as well. But that's what Paul's getting at. Don't let the age form you and shape you. And it's happening in our day in a really bad way.
For sure.
So that's just a few, but hopefully that gives us an idea of some ways that the age is shaping us, contrary to how God would want us to be shaped. Of course, we could go on and list many others, like sanctity of life and sexual issues, where the age has developed this hard and fast mindset, and they're now trying to shape the church to come in line with that. Again, yeah. That syncretism, but...
For sure. Could you, Tim, go dive deeper into why avoiding being conformed by this age is so very important?
Yes. I'll let the rest of this passage here answer that question the way Paul intended. But I think we also get a glimpse of that from the words of Jesus in John 3.
Okay.
One of my favorite little passages. John 3:6, Jesus says, "That which has been born of flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of spirit is spirit. Flesh begets flesh, and spirit begets spirit." So if we are formed by the age, we will become people of the age. And we can't be people of the spirit. And then John 3:12 says, "If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" So the more we let the age shape us and form us, the more we can't even understand who God is and what the kingdom of God is and what it means to be people of God and people of the kingdom. We don't and we can't understand the things of God unless we have a renewed mind. Mm. And if the age is shaping us, we just won't even be able to understand God. We'll end up being like Nicodemus and wanting to go back into our mother's womb to be born again.
Yeah.
But then verse 2 here continues, and this is what Paul gets at is why we can't be conformed by the age. The verse 2 continues, he says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So don't be conformed by the age. Be not conformed by the age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
For sure. Could you go help us understand more what that means by renew our mind? Like, what does that mean to have our mind renewed, to renew our mind?
Yeah. The word in the Greek actually means transformed. So there's a little bit of a play on words because he says, be not conformed by the age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we got to get this picture of not letting the age conform us, but being transformed. He's kind of playing on words here. But again, this word is also in the passive verb form. So it's happening to us again. Remember the first verb, be conformed, was in the passive. So you got both verbs in the passive. So the implication here is that something is always going to be shaping us without our full consent. The question is, what is shaping us? Is the age that we live in shaping us, or is God shaping us? Well, we already know that the age is not supposed to shape us, right? So how do we allow God to transform us so that we can then have that renewed mind? So it's God that's going to do the shaping, but we have to partner with him in that, right?
Yeah.
And I think the first and greatest way we can do that is simply with the Word of God. as we study the word, it will reshape us, it will transform us, and then it'll lead to that renewed mind. Now, what's interesting here is the word mind, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word mind in the Greek means either practical reason or moral consciousness. So our reasoning and our consciousness are what are being shaped or transformed by God. So as we study the Word of God and we allow it to reshape or transform our mind, we'll begin to see and understand how the age that we live in is at odds with godly ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Then I think the second way that we can allow ourselves to be transformed for the renewing of our mind is through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Spirit, of course, will bring our minds into agreement with the mind of Christ. But we can also invite the Holy Spirit and just sit with him and allow him to do this. It can be something deliberate that we do. Set time apart to let the Holy Spirit transform our mind so that we can be led into that place of having a renewed mind. But as we think about the renewing of our mind, we must also remember that this isn't going to be quick. Paul makes this such an emphatic little statement. Do not be conformed, or be not conformed to the ways of the age, but be transformed for the renewing of your mind. It sounds simple and easy, but it's not going to be quick.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that might be helpful is to think about weight loss principles. Weight loss experts will often say if it took you 10 years to get fat, it might take you 10 years to get healthy.
Mm.
We've been living in this age a long time, so it will take a long time to renew our mind, also because we're constantly still living under the influence of the age. We can never get away from how the age is influencing us, so every day that we move a little bit toward transforming, the age is still there trying to come back and conform us.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting how quickly the age can shape or conform us, even just a few minutes.
Yeah.
If you really get yourself under the influence of the age, a matter of minutes, it can completely transform the way you think into a negative, wrong way.
Mm.
I was reading a little article by biblical scholar and author Doug Moo as he wrote about this verse. And he said this reprogramming or this transformation of our mind does not take place overnight, but is a lifelong process.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really interesting quote. And like what you're talking about, I think it's just because our Christian life is lifelong. It's not a moment. We're not a Christian for a short period of time, you know? And if we're looking to grow at all moving forward in our life, we're signing up to grow for the rest of our lives, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's just like the Christian walk. It's going to take a long time. And then sometimes we don't realize how much we've already been conformed by the age until you sit under the teaching or the influence of a really, really wise person that has really gotten themselves out from underneath that, and you hear them talk and think and teach, and you're like, wow, that is so contrary to the way I tend to think.
Yeah.
We're so influenced by our age that sometimes it's just hard to even get ourselves out from underneath that.
For sure. Yeah, I know I have these moments where someone says something, and I go, why have I not always known that? You know, it's like that truth that you hear, and you go, yeah, this should have been, like, this is a concept I could have grasped as a child. Like, it's not that hard. It's just you have to learn it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And then conversely, you or someone else will say something, you're like, wow, that is really a worldly aged way to think about that.
Yeah.
I'll share a story at the end, but I got an email from somebody yesterday. I just went, what on earth? Like, earth, that's a system, that's an age way of thinking. Anyway, I also think, going back to how we can be transformed,
yeah,
I think we can use the system of our age to beat the system of our age. I'm a super pragmatic person, and I used to do really well on tests because I could use the test to help me take the test.
I could find
the answers to questions in the test.
Yes.
And I think we can do that here. We can use the system of our age to beat the system of our age. As we already talked about, our age is dominated by time. But our age wants us to focus on the tyranny of the urgent with our time, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We can take a more deliberate approach and use time to focus on the things of God instead.
Yeah.
As I was preparing for this message, I thought of Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Actually, I didn't read that quite right. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it, in keeping alert in prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourself simply means to take some time.
Yeah.
Take some time for prayer, remaining alert in prayer for the ways that the age is shaping you. So instead of having the age say, use all your time to focus on the tyranny of the urgent, we can say, I'm going to take my time to focus on God in prayer, remaining alert to the ways that the age is shaping me.
Yeah.
And then another way we could use this system to beat the system is with media. We live in the age of media, and we are constantly bombarded with media messages that are shaping us.
Yeah.
So again, we can choose what media we subject ourselves to, right? I don't have to subject myself to just any media. I can be very careful with that. And so I can use media, things like audio Bible or audio devotions, things that will shape me toward the mind of Christ, right?
I love that. You shared about the audio Bible like in a message not that long ago. And so I started putting that in my rotation. Like I like to, when I'm at work, listen to worship music and stuff. And so I shifted and switched to the audio Bible. And it was so weird, like how different it was, like the atmosphere that shifted. Like I love listening to worship music and I still do that at times, but like, it's this aspect of, there was a peace that came. It was this, such an interesting piece that came into the atmosphere of the room, where like worship I feel like is more like get involved, like be part of it, but the listening to the audio Bible brought just this peace and this calm and just a really sweetness, and it's just so cool when you add like those things in. I was excited to feel the difference that brought.
Yeah, and sometimes people are like, well, if I'm working or whatever, I can't pay attention to it. And you don't have to. I listen to the audio Bible too while I'm working. You don't have to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
It will still get into your brain and it will still transform and renew your mind. Even if you're not paying attention, it's still God's word. It's still effective. Just having it on and just having it in the background will still be effective in this transforming of your mind.
Yes. Amy said something really great too. She, in the chat, she's like, noticed that when she's been really deliberately taking time in prayer, that God seems to slow down the time and she feels like she has a longer with him than like what the clock even says. And I love that. I love that God takes it outside of time and fills you in the way that you need. And the time that you have, he goes, great, we're going to make this and we're going to fill this up so you feel like you've been with me for so long.
Yeah, that's good. I want to kind of wrap up this part by reading this verse 2 again in a different translation. I was reading from the NIV.
Okay.
But the NLT, the New Living Translation, verse 2 says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I love that part. God's going to transform us. He's doing the work. And there's that word transform. It's actually in the Greek. God is going to transform us into a new person by simply changing the way we think.
It's crazy.
Then verse 2 ends in the NIV with, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yeah.
The NLT ends with, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is his good and pleasing and perfect. People always want to know what the will of God is for their life, right?
Yeah.
I get asked that question all the time. How do I know what the will of God is for my life?
Yes.
Through a renewed mind. Paul clearly tells us here that to know the will of God for our life is through a renewed mind. Notice in the NIV it says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So you'll not only know what God's will is for your life, you'll be able to test it and you'll be able to approve of it through a renewed mind.
Amen. I love it.
And the NLT says, you will be able to learn. You will learn to know what God's will is for you.
Yeah.
So the implication here is that an unrenewed mind will inhibit us from knowing his will for our life. Or we may end up just resisting his will if we have an unrenewed mind.
Mm.
Now let's jump back to verse 1 for a minute. Verse 1 starts out by saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So Paul starts verse 1 by pointing us back to the cross of Christ. When he says, in view of God's mercy, what he's really saying is, in view of the cross of Christ, because of the mercy that Jesus had for us to go to the cross and to die on our behalf. That was his great act of mercy. Mm-hmm. So because of the cross, Paul goes on to say, now offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. So, and we've already established that the only way we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice is through the renewing of our mind. But the renewing of our mind only comes about because of the mercy of Jesus on the cross.
Mm.
So the real answer to the question of verse 1, how do I offer my body as a living sacrifice, is answered in the renewing of our mind, allowing our mind to be reshaped by God himself so that we'll be able to act and think in godly ways that are pleasing to him. This becomes true and proper worship. Now, isn't that interesting? Oftentimes when we think about this living sacrifice and true and proper worship, we think, like you mentioned earlier, like we've got to give our all in worship, like we got to just go all out and we got to fast or we got to dance or whatever. The ultimate way to worship is to allow your mind to be transformed, because then your mind comes closer and closer into alignment with God, and that's the best way we can worship him, is to have our mind line up with his mind.
Wow. Wow, oh, that's so crazy. I love it.
Just summarizing it again, ultimately, the way we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, is through a renewed mind. We offer our body as a living sacrifice when we allow God to shape and form us rather than the age. That's the physical activity of worship that's so meaningful, allowing God to shape us rather than the age shaping us.
Yeah.
Part of our spiritual act of worship is also being in God's will for our life, right? We're gonna be worshiping him as we live out his will for our life, but we can only do that with through the renewing of our mind.
And knowing his will through that renewed mind. Oh my right. gosh!
Otherwise, we're living according to the will of the age, right?
Yeah.
If we're not doing this, if we're not living out verse 2, then we are living according to the age, because the age is constantly conforming us.
Yeah.
And so if we're not doing this, then we're living according to the age, and that's not true in proper worship.
Wow.
And when we renew our mind, then all of our actions and behaviors become more and more in line with God.
Yeah. So do you know, Sam, what would you say, how would we know if we've reached that point of having our mind renewed, or what does that look like when our mind is renewed, or having our mind renewed?
Yeah, that's $1 million question, isn't it? I think when all of our thinking starts to align with God, with the Word of God and the Kingdom of God, when our thinking starts to really align with him and his kingdom and this book, this Word, we're approaching that point of having a renewed mind.
Yeah.
And I think a simple way that we can take our temperature, how is our mind doing, is when we're no longer stressed out by earthly things like time and politics.
Ooh.
I just continue to see people so losing their mind over our political situation. That is not a renewed mind, okay? Mm-hmm. I just received an email last night from someone who appears to be, based on their question, who appears to be really concerned and stressed out over our political situation of the day. That I don't think is what a renewed mind looks like.
Yeah.
And to quote an old hymn, I think we're approaching a renewed mind when the things of earth grow strangely dim.
I love that hymn.
Right? When the things of this earth just sort of go strangely dim, I think we're getting a renewed mind.
Ugh.
Or how about this? When every hardship, when every difficulty and every struggle looks like opportunity, we're probably approaching a renewed mind.
Mm, I love that. Yeah, there's moments where I remember way back when I started Vineyard, someone would come to prayer meeting and they're like, I'm not feeling well, I'm sick, or I have this thing. And I would get so excited. I'd feel bad because I don't think they wouldn't always know. But I was like, oh, that's an opportunity for Jesus to show up. That means Jesus is going to show up tonight. If you've got something, if you're in pain, or if you've got something that we can pray for you for. I remember living in that place and how weird it was, and realizing I might be confusing these people to no end. I'm like, I don't mean that I'm happy that you're in pain, or something that you're going through is really hard. I'm rejoicing in knowing that God is moments away from coming through.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really great, Alana. We just had one of those on Friday night. We had a prayer and worship night Friday night, and it was kind of over. A few people had already left, And then Cher mentions that she had injured her foot. Something really heavy had fallen on her foot. Oof. And she had injured it. She was in a lot of pain. She couldn't put any weight on it. And I'm thinking, ooh, opportunity, right?
Yes.
And so I invited some of the other people who were there. Hey, why don't you pray for Cher's foot? And her foot was healed instantly on the spot.
Yes.
The look on Cher's face was a million bucks. And she starts walking up and down the room real fast. And she calls out in a real loud voice, look, Pastor Tim, I can put weight on it. I couldn't put weight on it before. So
I love it. Yes.
It looked as a hardship or difficulty. It looked like pain, but we saw it as opportunity and God stepped in and healed her. And yeah, I think we know that we've got the renewed mind when we're not stressed out. And hardships and difficulties don't worry us and stress us. They just seem like opportunity.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, that's so good.
You know, and I think this is a product of culture. I hate to keep saying this, but as I love to examine the church in other cultures and other worlds to see how they get it. I've even got some theology books on my shelf that were written by authors of another culture, of another race, of another nation, because they bring such a different mindset to it.
Yeah.
And here in the United States, when things politically don't go the way we think they should, we stress out. And then we want to have protests and whatever. And that's not a renewed mind. And I look at the way other cultures, other nations go about those things, and they handle it so differently. Like, the one that comes to mind is the nation of Uganda.
Okay.
Uganda was under the rule of an evil dictator named Idi Amin for decades. Idi Amin was a wicked, brutal person. He killed people. I mean, he was just a brutal person, and he ruled with an iron fist. And yet the people of Uganda, the Christians of Uganda, the churches banded together, and they prayed Idi Amin out of power. They
wow.
did not take up arms. They did not fight. They did not protest. They simply prayed and prayed, and they listened to the Lord, and they got guidance from the Lord on how they should proceed in prayer, and they prayed him out of power.
That's so good.
That's a renewed mind right there.
Wow.
To even take that approach to begin with.
Yeah. I feel like when you're saying this, like, so often it's like we look at our problems and we get stressed out by our problems because they feel big. But a renewed mind seems to have this transition of, like, when you see your problem, you just look directly right up at God. Like, it's just this shift instead of, like, our focus being on, or even ourselves. Like, how do I fix this? Like, this is bigger than me, you know, and it's just you and the problem. But that renewed mind turns your eyes just like, boop, like, I can't do this. And, like, you just pass by even thinking that you could do it on your own, you know, and just go, okay, Jesus, like, you're the one that's gonna come 100%. In and make a change here.
That's really good. Our eyes go off the problem straight to Jesus. Or one of the things that I think the Lord's been doing in me is we don't have to fix every problem.
Yeah.
We waste way too much energy trying to fix problems that God's not intending for us to fix.
Yeah.
Something we just have to let him be. Just let it be. It is what it is, and don't worry about it at all.
I think the thing is, too, though, like, it's still that same, like, eyes off the problem, eyes up on God, you know, because it's what I have found, at least personally, in those moments is when it's stressful, but I know God is with me, and I feel his presence. I think it goes back to another message you just shared, but, like, when God's presence is there, it just changes everything. Like, it changes you and how you feel about the situation, even if the situation doesn't change. It's like our eyes still go up so that we feel close and connected to him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good.
Cool. Well, I guess we can wrap up here. I was wondering if you could even pray over us, Tim, and that we could take a moment with God and see what he wants to do in us and what ways he wants to transform us in just like one step this morning. I know it can feel overwhelming when we're talking about a lifelong process, but I think it would be great for us just to take a moment and ask God, what's one step we can take? What is one way that like our mind has been shaped by the world? Because it has, like, it's just,
right.
That's what living is being shaped and asking God to transform and renew that for us. Like one little thing this morning.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I think, you know, you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right?
Yeah.
So I think we have to start by finding one thing of the age that's been shaping us. What's
yeah.
one part of the age that's been shaping us that we need to begin to move away from. So let's just Yeah, come into the Lord's
presence. You pray that over us and give us a moment to, like, do that. And,
yeah. Well, Lord Jesus, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would go right now to each and every person here that's listening and watching, even those that might watch this later online, but that you would just come on them right now and just begin to reveal to them, begin to show them what's one thing of our age that's shaping them in a way that's not pleasing to you, simply because it's of the age. So Lord, just begin to show us, each one of us, what's something of this age that's shaping us and therefore transforming us away from you. I would just encourage everyone, just sit in the Lord's presence for a little bit, let him speak to you, let him show you something. And then if we were meeting in person, I would probably say, okay, anyone have the courage to share out what the Lord might have showed you? And we'd have a few people speak out. So anyone, what did the Lord show you? What's one thing of this age? And just go ahead and put it in the chat. You can either unmute yourself and say it or put it in the chat.
Yeah, everybody feel free to, this is like time to chat with each other. So everybody can unmute themselves.